and not because it's done for the week, but just because it's so precious. So in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you have been here, that you are here right now, that you are present, that you are moving, that you are speaking into people's lives. And Lord, I seal in what you are doing in people's hearts in the name of Jesus. I pray for more. I pray for more as Neil comes and speaks to us. I pray for more in communion and as we worship later, Lord. I just pray that you would just keep speaking to your children, that this would be the beginning, and that you'd seal in us an excitement, that you would minister to us, that you meet us where you're at, where we're at, and that you'd keep ministering to us. So Lord, I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you care about the details of our lives. I thank you that you've got more to say to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite Sarah to come and read the word to us. And then Neil, our wonderful curate, is going to come and speak to us.
So tonight's reading is from Matthew 6, and it's verses 5 to 13. And if you've got one of the church Bibles, it's page 970. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sarah. Brilliant. It's great to see you all. I think this is my first time this term. So there's lots of new people. And it's great to see you all. My name's Neil. I'm the curate here. I'm going to sit down today. If that's all right, I'm going to get myself ready. I'm married to Natalie. I've got three boys, Matthew, Daniel, and Ben. And when I was about the age, somewhere between my Matthew, my oldest, and Daniel, my middle one, so around kind of 12, 11, I can't quite remember, I used to love going out on bikes. And my parents' house was on quite a busy road. So what we used to do was kind of cycle up the road, and then we would basically make loops around. So there was kind of some parallel roads and some perpendicular roads, and we would kind of cycle around, and we'd kind of do them as fast as we could. And one time I did this, and it was on a bit of a hill, and one of the roads, the driveways stayed quite flat, and the pavement kind of sloped across. And it made an absolutely perfect BMX track. It was absolutely amazing. It was just kind of down and up and down and up and down and up. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't cycle along the pavement? My mum told me not to. But who wouldn't? So I did. Cycled along fast as I could. We didn't have any BMX tracks anywhere near us at that time. And the car pulled out of a drive. And I hit the car. And I went over the bonnet. And I had about 30 seconds to think what to do. What do I do? I'll tell you what I did in a minute. But tonight's talk, it might be a giveaway. Tonight's talk is in a series. It's in a series called Ministry from the Mountain. in Matthew 5 and 6, where Jesus is teaching, bringing together and speaking a whole load of things for us to pay attention to. And we're pulling out a few of these different things over this next few weeks. Chris kicked us off thinking about the unseen, where we invest our time and energy, how we can be a people so focused on the outcome, yet the encouragement, the treasures that are hidden, where do we invest our time in the unseen? Are we a people of the unseen? Last week, Hannah brilliantly began to give us a conversation around prayer. Such a massive topic. We looked at this passage that we've just had read to us. A prayer that Jesus gave us as a rhythm to connect with the Father. A prayer that his disciples had seen him do. Or a rhythm of prayer that he'd seen them do. And they said, how do we pray? And so he taught them this rhythm of prayer. But Hannah reminded us that we needed to find that secret place. That it's not about being out in the public, showing off who we are and all of our amazing spirituality and prayer life and all that kind of stuff. But are we going to the secret place? And are we allowing in that interaction, are we allowing God to encounter us afresh, to reveal his heart, to draw in intimacy with him? Are we a people of the secret place? And today, we want to think a little bit about perhaps depth. Are we people who are deep, not superficial and surface level, but do we allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our depths? And will we be a people who know forgiveness and give forgiveness? That might give you a little clue to what happened in my story at the beginning. I did have a moment to think, and I was a good Christian boy, jumped on my bike and legged it. Thought, I'll get away with this, it'll be fine. So I cycled off, there was a park nearby, cycled into park, car couldn't follow me there, had it all thought through, it was genius. Took a little bit longer to get home than normal, just to make sure. Came round the bend, parked outside the car, house was the car. What I forgot is that my mum and dad know everybody in our town. Absolutely everybody. They knew who I was. So I had to sheepishly cycle up with the people sitting out the car. And they were amazing. They just wanted to check I was fine. But I had to say I was sorry. But sometimes I had to recognize the thing that I had done wrong and recognize that I needed to do something about it. And they were gracious in that. But so often when we come to this, when we come to the theme of forgiveness, when we come to dealing with other people, our response, my response, is so often to run away. Let's leave it. Doesn't matter. Forget about it. Let's not worry about that thing. God loves me. It's amazing. But there's a challenge in this passage. There's a challenge that says, in fact, can we just bring it up for me? Just the second part of that reading. Sorry, catching that there. Keep going through. Brilliant, keep going. There we go. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. How do you hear that? How do you hear that when you hear that being read? Do you hear a good, good Father? Because we sing it. Or do you hear someone saying, if you don't do it, I won't do it. If you don't, I won't. I think that's not what God is saying to us. He's not saying, I'm holding it back until you show me you do it. Because he's a good, good Father. He's reminded us when we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're worthy of all praise. We've done that tonight. But there's something about forgiveness. There's something about this pattern of forgiveness that enables us, that is connected with us and with God. that is not a God that holds it back, but is without engaging in the one, we can't have the other. It's part of the deal, part of the plan. So let's have a little think about it. Let's have a think about forgiveness, and I'm going to make sure I don't talk for too long. What is forgiveness? I want to think a little bit about what is forgiveness, how do we forgive, and why do we forgive? I'm going to start here. I'm going to do some stuff later on as well. This is a massive topic. This is a huge topic to think about, and all I want to do is to begin to start some conversations. These are conversations to continue. I recognize there's people in the room that carry stuff and have been carrying things where it's really hard to enter into forgiveness, where it's a really difficult thing to do, where people have done things and said things and have spoken things to us. And you're sitting there thinking, Neil, how on earth do you expect me to do this? And I recognize that. But stay with me and let's continue these conversations. So a couple of passages to start off with, to think a little bit about what is prayer, or what is forgiveness, or what is it not. The first one I was thinking about, the paralyzed man, Mark 2, 1 to 12. His friends bring him on a bed that they've created, can't get in to see Jesus, and they drop him through the roof. And a conversation starts. Your sins are forgiven, Jesus says. Take up your mat and walk. The religious leaders there listening in don't think, wow, he's been healed. They think, how dare you forgive somebody? Only God can do that. But interestingly, Jesus speaks God's forgiveness to that person. We have no idea what happened. We have no idea what has gone. We have no idea of the background. But there's something about the forgiveness of God. And interestingly, as I was reading this, I discovered, slightly to my surprise, that all of the Old Testament, all of the teaching around forgiveness is about us and God. There's no teaching. There's response to that in terms of what we have to do to restore, but there's no teaching around the forgiveness for each other in the community. It's all focused on teaching about healing, about forgiveness to God, and what I have to do, what I have to take, what are the sacrifices I have to make to get that forgiveness. There's another one that surprised me, the adulterous woman. We call it the adulterous woman, the adulterous couple. There was two of them there, we always said that. In John 8, 1 to 11. Interestingly, as you read it, and I was reading it in light of this, at no stage does Jesus say, you're forgiven. I forgive you. He says, anyone who could throw the first stone. And then he looks around and he says, has anyone thrown the first stone? He said, I don't condemn you either. But there's no sense of forgiveness. There's no word spoken. We'll come back to look at those words. What does that speak or show us about forgiveness? What was going on in that story? The other one, Jesus, there's many others, but Jesus at the cross, hanging on a cross, nails in his hands and in his feet. Yet he speaks, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do. Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they do. Jesus doesn't say, I forgive you. He commends them to God, commends them to his Father, and asks the Father to forgive them. It made me think. I've been away for the last couple of days with my wife, and we weren't going to do any work, and we ended up spending a whole lot of time talking about this talk and kind of digging into it, because there is so much. Just even those three things begin to help us to begin to think about what does it actually mean to be a people who forgive. Two words I want us to think about, two words, Greek words, that just begin to help us to think about this topic. So the first word, I've put them up because I always remember things and I can see them much better. The first word, charizomo, possibly something like that. It's one of the words, but it's used quite infrequently. Somewhere between 25 and 30 times it's used in the New Testament. And it's linked to the word charis, the grace, extending grace, undeserved favor towards people. God extending his undeserved favor towards us. Something of forgiveness, the undeserved, unearned, not qualifying in any way for this gift. A word that's used of forgiveness. The second word, which is much more commonly used when we're thinking about forgiveness in the New Testament, around 150 times this is used. And I put it twice because some books have it as an APH and some have it as an AFI. So I put them both up there. Aphemi. Aphemi. This means a variety of things used in lots of different ways, left behind, yielded, neglected, abandoned, forgiven. Forgiven in the context of debts, financial debts. Forgiven in the context of lawless deeds. Forgiven in the context of wickedness. And forgiven in the context of sins. To send forth, to give away is the word that it describes of. To get away from us. A word that is used to think about this idea of forgiveness. Are we a people who will put down and yield these things to God? So how do we do this? What does it look like? And if you've got your Bibles, you can have a look with me. Just very briefly at Luke 19. This one. Luke 19. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. We meet him hiding in a tree. And Jesus says, come, I want to spend time with you. There's a conversation that goes on. That questions again the people on the outside looking in with their own understanding of what this all means. Their own understanding of why would a religious leader like this want to spend time with the people that we spend our time trying to avoid? Why would he do that? But he says, I want to come and spend time with you. Again, we have no idea what the conversation is. But Zacchaeus' response, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. There's something about forgiveness, and we'll come back to forgiveness with God in a minute, but there's something about forgiveness that involves recognition. That we recognize that we've done wrong. That we engage in a conversation within the community of people. That it recognizes that a wrong has been done. And that will take conversation. There's no point kind of standing around going, well, they've done this, they've done this, they've done this. I'm going to sit and wait for them to come and recognize that they've done it. There's situations that can't happen in. The situations in which that conversation can't happen. But much of the conversation that is talked about in forgiveness is about the people of God, the community of God, being the people of God, dealing with stuff when we get it wrong. When we do things that just offend that we don't mean to do. But so easily we can carry it around. We avoid. I do it. Someone says something to me, I don't like it. I'm like, oh, quick, I've got to avoid them. I don't want that conversation again. But forgiveness is about recognizing and that conversation that we need to have. It's about repentance. It's about saying we're sorry. Again, recognizing in the conversation what's happened. And in most part, it will be a two-way conversation. But we say sorry. We repent. And we restore. We repair. We bring restitution to the situation. Zacchaeus' response, I'll return more than I've got back. I want to do something about this. A physical situation in which a physical act has been done. But what does it look like to bring restoration in relationships? What does it look like when a word has been spoken out of turn? How does that speak as the Christian community to the wider world? A world that wants to avoid all this, who wants to keep us superficial, who's free to speak anything, whatever they want, however they want. That Facebook and social media tells us that it doesn't really matter what we say, because actually no one's really going to be offended by it. Or if they are, I'm never going to meet them. How do we be a people, a community, that deal with this stuff, that work through this stuff, that speak into forgiveness? So do we recognize? Do we give space within our communities? Do we give space within our relationships to recognize, to repent, and to restore? But let me say some practical things, and then I'm going to bring us in to our relationship with God. How does this work with us and Him? Firstly, there may be situations, there are many situations in which that conversation can't happen straight away, may never be able to happen. Bring others around you. Bring community around you. Chris talked in that first week about the intentions of our hearts, the unseen intentions. And I think I want to hold us into that with this of forgiveness. Is our intention to be a people who forgive? That are engaged in that process. And for some of us, that is a really hard thing to do. And some of us, it may take a long time. And for others, it may not be a possible thing to do in terms of restoring a relationship. Either what's happened is just not a safe thing to engage with, or that person is not around anymore. But are we engaged in it? And secondly, I think that thing around Jesus on the cross. Will we be a people who give it to God? To start in that place. Father, I give you this person. One of my journeys with this involved that. Out of an inability not to see what had happened in a situation, I was connected into something that the person just couldn't see that they'd done anything wrong. And we had conversations about it, and we discussed it, and ultimately it was, you did this, they did this, and we couldn't get anywhere. And I carried it for ages thinking, I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know how to step forward. I don't know if this relationship can be restored. And I got some wise counsel to think it through and to help me to begin to process that. And they just simply said, start with God. Give that person to God. Give this situation to Him. Just keep doing it as an active daily thing to do. Things started to shift. Things started to move. An email came through that began a process of restoration. Our relationship has been restored. There's a distance, physical distance, between our relationship, which means that we don't see each other all the time. But it's a restored relationship. It's a relationship that it's easy to speak blessing over that person. It's easy to love them as a brother and sister. But it took time. It took years. But will we have that intention? Will we allow others into that journey to carry it with us, whatever that looks like? But let's come back to the why. Why do we do this? Ephesians 4. Says this. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We started out this connection between God's forgiveness and us forgiving others. There's a parable in the scriptures that talks of the man who is forgiven of a massive debt and goes around then grabbing all the small debts that he has of others. The master comes back and says, "I've forgiven you so much. How on earth can you not forgive those little things? I've forgiven you so much," in a context in which the debt that he owed, he'd never be able to pay back. How dare you go around asking these small amounts from these other people? This connection of forgiveness, that God has forgiven us so much. We're a chosen people, created by God. He loves us, he delights in us. But our good news is we're a forgiven people too. He has forgiven us so much. How can we not forgive others? How can we hold these things against others when he has forgiven us so much? As we were praying, Natalie and I this morning, Natalie had a picture. And interestingly, Chris shared a picture of a door and the pushing on that door. But there was the door that we had this morning was a door that had one of those. It was kind of a medieval castle door. And in some places, you have these massive weights that drop down, held with chains, that make the door almost impossible to open. And as Natalie was looking at this picture, the chains began to break and the weight dropped. And the person could just push the door. The door of relationships. The door of a situation that you face at the moment. God has broken those chains. He speaks forgiveness to each one of us. For the things that we know we've done. For the things that we have no idea that we've done. He speaks forgiveness. We are a people who are forgiven, who are freed from any condemnation. There's a difference between God's forgiveness and our forgiveness to one another. God's forgiveness, when he speaks it, he speaks complete cleansing. He forgets. It's as though it never happened. Sometimes that's a real challenge when we're doing it with each other. We want to live out that forgottenness of that situation. But sometimes it catches us again. And we have to just keep going with that relation, that situation. But with God, forgiveness is dealt with. It's done with. He speaks it to each one of us. Let us no longer be hidden by the shame of carrying any sense of unforgiveness. Let us be people who are deep. Because we know that we can come completely clean, completely right with God. And so we're going to come and remember what Jesus has done for us. We're going to come and remember his blood poured out, his body broken. We're going to do that together. But I just want to give us space because we're going to use some words from 1 Corinthians 11. And Paul, in his speaking of this, reminds the readers not to rush into remembering this act, this symbol, this given to us as a reminder of what he's done, but to take time. In fact, Paul says that before you even do this, there may be people that you need to go and talk to. So let's just take a moment. What is God saying to you today? What's his word to you? What's his encouragement? Perhaps there's things that you have kept hidden that he just wants to start dealing with. There may be things, we prayed earlier, about things that God had already been working on. He'd already been shown us, even as we came tonight. Is the things that he just wants to speak into tonight? Is the things of forgiveness that he wants to speak to you tonight? Or are you carrying a situation and you've had no idea what to do with it? And the first thing and the only thing you can do tonight is just to bring it to God, to lay that situation or that person or people before God. So let's take a moment and allow his Holy Spirit just to begin to speak. There may be for some of us that we just need to recognize something. We need to speak it out, not necessarily out loud. But we come carrying the weight of guilt, of something that we've done, that we just need to speak out to God and say, God, I'm sorry. And Father, I thank you that you're good and that you're faithful. And that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just, and you forgive us our sins. So if we just bring the words up on the screen. I'm going to read them in yellow, and then there's some things later that we'll speak out together that are in white. So the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Say together, thank you, Father, for forgiveness. We come to your table as your children, not presuming but assured. Not trusting ourselves, but your word. We hunger and thirst for righteousness and ask for our hearts to be satisfied with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Christ is alive forever. We are because he is. We are one body. We share one bread. Draw near with faith. Christ is the host, and we are his guests. If you seek to follow Jesus, you are welcome to receive If you would like a blessing, just say to those that are giving out the bread that you would just like a blessing. That is absolutely fine. If you need gluten-free or non-alcoholic, come over to the table where Chris will be stood and you can receive from there as well. But come and receive. Come and receive, remembering that you are forgiven. And as we receive, we'll get the worship team to come and receive first, and then they will just lead us in a space and time to do business with God. For some of us, we may just want to come back to that place of worship. For others, there's some business in God that we need to do. Find some space. There'll be people around who can pray with you, or grab someone that you know and trust. But let's go to that deep place and allow him to minister to us, that we might know that we are forgiving people, that we can be a forgiving people. If I can invite those that are helping to come.